This morning, we're going to continue looking at this whole idea of hunter safety. The whole idea that in the fall in Michigan, it becomes one of those things that's big news. People go to the woods, and we talked about it last week, that sometimes I think we can look at the metaphors in Scripture and we can talk about a harvest, or we can talk about fishing, or we can talk about things that seem somewhat passive, and yet hunting, you got to hunt. You got to go out. You got to move. You got to, again, move forward. And just that image that we are called to go to the woods and look for people who don't know who Christ is. And again, as we think about this whole idea of hunter safety, there's a few things that we're going to look at over the course of the next few weeks. They're really the keys of the hunter safety program, and that is responsibility, safety, knowledge, and involvement. Again, responsibility, safety, knowledge, and involvement. And this morning, we're going to look at this whole idea of responsibility, And as we do so, we look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, where it says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the Word of God. If you read that passage again, there's a lot of imagery. And even when I read it again and again, it just strikes me. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I wonder sometimes, is that our world today? I look around and I see folks who are so helpless and so lost and so much looking for a leader, and will gravitate to anything, in order to find that connection. And yet here Christ says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his field." It's youth hunt this weekend. Maybe those of you who don't hunt don't know that. But one weekend every year, the DNR sets aside a weekend for youth to go out and hunt. Just really them. It's a way of getting kids, yet again, involved in hunting and again, becoming responsible hunters. A chance to teach them what it means to be in the woods. A chance to teach them what it means to be in God's creation. And again, to give thanks for that which God has given us. And so this weekend, it's fitting that we again talk about that whole idea. If we're going to teach kids to hunt, it begins with responsibility. I have a favorite story, and I know I've told this story before here, but it just, for me, it fits, and so forgive me. It's also kind of a football story, and so it kind of sticks in my mind, and it holds a dear place in my heart. And it's a story that Lou Holtz told. Lou Holtz, the former coach of Notre Dame. All right, I got that in. I didn't say anything, did I? Anyway, Lou is a great, great public speaker, and he would tell a lot of great stories. And he told a story about a football coach who was trying to kind of connect his young coaching staff. And this head coach was an outdoorsman, someone who liked to hunt, and so, you know, he would often go into the area of his university and meet with local farmers and allowed to use their land and hunt. And one time he decided that he would take one of his new young staff people with him. And so he said the coach took them along, and they brought their hunting stuff, and they pulled up to a local farm, and the coach said, "Now here, you stay here, get everything ready, and I'm going to go talk to the farmer." And he walks up to the farmer's house, and he says, "Now, hi, I'm a coach, I'm head coach of the university here, and I'm wondering, would it be okay for me to hunt on your land?" And the farmer looked at him and said, "Well," he said, "you know," he says, "that'd be great, that'd be fine, you can hunt on my land, but," he says, "can I ask you a favor?" Coach says, "Sure, go ahead." Well, he says, I got an old mule down in the field down there. That one down there, and it kind of looks all worn out. Yeah, we drove by him. Yeah, he says, "Boy, that mule's been good to me, but that mule's got to be put down. And so I'm wondering, can you put that down for me? Just shoot him, put him down." So the coach thought, "Well, that's the least I can do." And he's walking back to the car, and as he's walking, he thought, "You know, I'm going to have some fun with my assistant coach here." And he looks at this young coach, and as he's walking, he starts to get a grumpy face, and he walks up to this young man who's, again, just become part of his staff. He says, "I can't believe this old farmer." He goes, "What, coach?" He says, "Well," he says, "he thinks that I'm a rotten coach. Thinks I'm a terrible coach. He thinks we're a terrible university. He thinks we've got a terrible football team." He says, "I cannot believe it. He read me the riot act. Well, upside and side down, the other said, why would I ever let you hunt on my land? He said, you are the worst of worst, terrible of terribles." He says, "I'm going to teach him a lesson." He picked up his rifle and he made sure it was around there, loaded that up. He turned around, leaned on the fence. He aimed for that mule. And about that time, he heard from the other side of the fence. He turned around and he said, "What did you do?" He said, "Coach," he says, "you got their mule. I got one of his cows. Let's get out of here right now." Responsibility as a hunter says that you leave things better than you found them. That as a hunter, you go out into the woods and you make the place a better place. If you ask people to use their land, you use their land and leave it better than when you found it. You don't leave candy wrappers. You don't leave pieces of the hunt laying around. You don't make a mess when you leave. You leave it better because you are responsible. In our passage, it talks about this harvest. And it talks about the fact that there is a great harvest there. Again, back then, harvests were important and hunting was important. Today, I'm not sure we understand. We go to the store and we buy our food, and the whole image of harvest is foreign to us. We go to the store, and if we eat meat, we buy meat, and we don't understand the hunt anymore. For many of us, we've become hobby farmers. And for a hobby farmer, you don't have to harvest. I'll guarantee you right now that if you look in the garden at the Fazio home, there are tomatoes still on the vine. There are beans still on the branches. There are still things there because we've been too busy. And we've disregarded the harvest. We're hobby farmers. The challenge is, what is the church today? Because we as the church, we as people of God, are responsible for the harvest, for the hunt. Or have we too become hobby farmers? Where we read the words that Jesus shares here, where again it's talked about that, again, they were helpless, they were harassed, they were sheep without a shepherd. And the harvest was plentiful, but the workers were few. Is the church just a hobby farmer nowadays? Or do we take seriously these words that Jesus shared? In the Hunter Safety Manual, it says this, and I thought it was very appropriate. It says, how you behave under responsibility, how you behave and how other people see you will determine hunting's future. How you behave and how others see you will determine hunting's future. How does the world see us as the church today? How does the world see us as people who say we love Jesus today? Do we take seriously the responsibility to make it a better place and to share the good news of Christ? Or are we just hobby farmers? You see, the church that does not care about the harvest, does not care about the hunt, is not a biblical church. Because if you look in Scripture, again, many are the metaphors where we are called to bring in people who do not know Christ. Where Jesus talks about fishing and becoming fishers of men and of women. He doesn't talk about not catching, but about bringing in those nets filled with people who need to know the Lord. He doesn't talk about an empty banquet table, but he talks about a wedding feast in which he goes out to the highways, the byways, the alleyways, and brings people in. He doesn't talk about fig trees with no fruit, but trees that bear fruit and bring people in. He doesn't talk about a lost sheep that we don't care about, but one that's brought back into the fold. Or a lost coin that no one searches for, but one that is found. Or again, he doesn't talk about a good harvest that we just look at, but one that is reaped and brought in. Scripture is full of metaphors that teach us our responsibility to be good hunters and good harvesters and not just hobby farmers. So if we are truly to be the hunters, the harvesters, and not the hobbyists, then how do we go about this? The first is a little bit of a review, but the first, again, is so important. We do not delay. Our responsibility, first and foremost, is to not delay. Last week, we began this journey, and we began to talk about and teach about this, and we, again, told the story of those who said, "But Jesus, I'd follow you, but just give me a minute." We don't have a minute, folks. And we can't wait. We can't delay. No one, nothing can get in the way from us going into the woods and hunting, from us going into the fields and harvesting. There is no time to waste. Look around the world in which we live. Look around the news. Look around the faces of people who again are harassed, who are looking for that shepherd, and we sit in this place, safe and comfortable, while outside people are dying. There is no time to delay. And I'm not just talking about people, strangers, people you don't know, or you can easily say, "But I'm not an evangelist, Pastor." I'm talking about people who you see every day at work, at school, in your homes, family at your Christmas gatherings, best friends from high school and college, people who you respect and you say you care for, and yet they don't know Jesus. If we are responsible in our hunting, in our harvesting, then we cannot delay the harvest that Jesus calls us to. But it doesn't stop there. We're not only responsible not to delay, but we are responsible to understand the harvest. We are responsible to understand the harvest. Three things that you need to know about the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is valuable, and the harvest is ready. The harvest is plentiful, valuable, and ready. Folks, look around us. Again, look at the world in which we live and understand that there are many people who are ready and willing to listen about Jesus Christ. There are many people who are looking for that thing in their life that can rise above all that the world and media has to offer. The harvest is plentiful. And yet so often we delay or we make excuses. Look at how great the harvest is, and that Jesus calls us, and that we are called to go. I read the story of a church member who decided to try and make a difference in the harvest, in the fields, in the hunt, in the woods. And as they picked up their morning coffee, they looked at the worker at the coffee shop, and they saw hopelessness. And so they decided right there to begin a ministry that they called Blessing of the Baristas. Now, for those of you who love coffee, a barista is the person who puts together your double latte with a triple shot and a little caramel and a little of this and that. All right? And this person decided that from that point on, every time they got a coffee, they would walk up to the barista and they would say, "Here's the order of my coffee. And by the way, how can I ask God to bless you today?" The barista would look at them. And as time passed, slowly the baristas would actually share. And as time passed, his small group got wind of this, and they became the Blessing of the Baristas small group. And they made it their ministry to go to every coffee shop in their community and on a regular basis take turns, different ones, ordering their coffee and following up that order with, "And by the way, how can I ask God to bless you today?" It all culminated one day when one of them walked into the coffee shop, ordered their coffee, and before they could say anything, the barista looked at them and said, hey, are you one of those blessing people? Because I've got something for you this morning, and I really want to ask you to ask God for me." The harvest is plentiful, folks. There's baristas out there looking for someone who just asks. There's people out there who are looking who are of value. The harvest is valuable. God sees every person as important. And what are we doing as a church, as hunters, as gatherers, to go out into this plentiful harvest, to go out into this valuable crop, to go out because people are ready? 6 million people were asked this question: what will it take to get you to go to church? 6 million people asked a simple question: what will it take to get you to go to church? And the number one answer was what? What was it? Someone would only ask. 6 million people said, "I'd go to church if someone would ask me." Are we hunting? Are we harvesting? Or are we hobbying? There's 6 million people who would be here this morning if we would ask. There's baristas out there who are ready, and they're plentiful. It's a valuable, valuable harvest that God wants us to bring in. If we are responsible hunters, we will understand that about the harvest. But if we are responsible, we will also understand three things about the workers. Three things about the workers. They are few, they are special, and they are sent. They are few, they are special, and they are sent. Sadly, folks, Jesus says it himself, the workers are few. The people who really, really want to hunt, want to harvest, want to gather, are few. And we've got to ask ourselves, are we some of those few? Are we the people who are willing to hear this call and truly, truly be part of the few? Remember, again, 6 million people who answer, just ask me and I'll go. Or another way to look at it is, 74% of people say that they have come to know Christ because of people who got involved in their life. The way to do it is to get involved. The way to do it is to be involved. And yet, that working and those workers are hard to find. And when we do find them, they're special. Because, again, each of us would have a different way in which we can bring the harvest in. We won't all do it the same way. Same God, same Savior, same Lord, same story, but different approach. And that's okay. Because we as harvesters, as hunters, are special. A great story. One in which about a little boy shows up all of a sudden as a man's pounding a nail, a sign in the ground says, puppies for sale. Turns around and he sees his little boy standing there. The little boy says, sir, he says, I'd like to buy one of your puppies. And the gentleman says, well, these are really expensive dogs. You can't afford them. And so the little boy takes out all the money he has, which was about 75 cents, and he says, sir, he says, for 75 cents, can I just see the puppies? And the guy says, sure, okay. And he takes the little boy's money and he walks to the garage and he opens up the door and out runs the dog, and behind the dog runs the puppies. And the little boy's face lights up and he just thinks it's the most amazing thing, and he sits on the ground and the dogs are licking his face. And then all of a sudden, one more puppy comes out. Puppy that's a little wobbly. Puppy that doesn't seem to run just exactly right. A puppy who's having a hard time. A puppy that really the mother kind of ignores. And the little boy looks, and that puppy comes up to him and he holds it and he says, sir, I really want this puppy. And the gentleman looks at him and says, you don't want that dog. That dog is crippled. That dog's got two bad back legs. That dog is worthless. You don't want that dog. I'll probably have to get rid of that dog. And the little boy says, no. He says, I really, really want this dog. And the gentleman looks at him and says, but son, he says, he's no good to you. He's crippled. And the little boy grabs his pants and he pulls them up. And all of a sudden the man sees that this little boy is wearing two metal braces, one on each leg. And the little boy looks at him, he says, no, sir. He says he just needs somebody to understand him, somebody to love him, somebody to take care of him. Folks, the workers are special. The workers who go into the world where people feel harassed, people feel like they have no shepherd, and they are unique to meet the needs of those just like each of us who are crippled in some way, hurting in some way, pained in some way. And we get a chance to share that good news with those people that the world says aren't valuable. But Jesus says they are valuable. They're few, they're special, and they're sent. But there's one thing we must understand about that responsibility still, and that is that we must go. It says, pray to the Lord that we would be sent, that there would be workers sent. Well, folks, it's easy so often for us to pray and say, you know what? I pray, God, that you will send someone to the harvest, to the hunt. But guess what? What if it's you and me? Tomorrow morning brings a new day, and what if someone steps in front of you who has no hope? Will you go? Or will we be like many people throughout Scripture who say, Not me, Lord. Not me. I'm not good enough. I don't speak well enough. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the ability. Or will we be like many people today who say, well, that's what we hired a pastor for, was to talk to these people. The truth is that if we are hunters and if we are harvesters and if we hear the word of God, then we must go. Each of us into the field, each of us into the wood. It is our responsibility to go to the baristas of the world and say, how can I ask God to bless you today? How can I share Christ with you today? Remember, what did it say? How you behave and how other people see you will determine hunting's future. I truly believe that people are looking at us. And we talk about loving people. And we talk about sharing good news. And we talk about a lot of stuff. But do we do it? Do we do it? You see, the farmer cared about the harvest. The hunter cares about the hunt. The hobbyist cares just about the hobby. Who are we as the church today? Amen.